supposed to explain the warrant and nature of this office. I hope I already did that to some extent. But any which way, Ken, we know we received multiple nominations, actually, at the end of last year when we had the period open for nominations. And in the beginning of this year, I met with Ken over the course of about a month, I guess it was, examining him and learning from him. Ken does know the confessions better than me. It's sad. The session approved him as a candidate before COVID hit, and you all know everything got held up for a while. He was finally elected last month at our congregational meeting. Today we are officially ordaining and installing him, and what's going to happen is he's going to become an official member of the session for the High Valley Presbyterian Church. We are setting him aside as a fellow under-shepherd of this flock, and he'll have all the same authority and burden that we have, and he's going to need your prayers. So remember that. There's just a few steps to this. I'm going to ask Ken some questions. They're verbatim out of the Book of Church Order for the PCA. And then I have a final question that will be addressed to you, the congregation. And provided everybody is agreeable, then we will pray. We will make things official by declaration. Is everyone okay with that game plan? Sound good? Wonderful. Ken, do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as originally given to be the inerrant word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice? So say I do.
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the confession of faith and the catechisms of this church as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures? And do you further promise that if at any time you find yourself out of accord with any of the fundamentals of this system of doctrine, you will, on your own initiative, make known to your session the change which has taken place in your views since the assumption of this ordination vow?
I do.
Do you approve of the form of government and discipline of the Presbyterian Church in America in conformity with the general principles of biblical polity?
I do.
Do you accept the office of ruling elder in this church and promise faithfully to perform all the duties thereof and to endeavor, by the grace of God, to adorn the profession of the gospel in your life and to set a worthy example before the church of which God has made you an officer?
I do.
Do you promise subjection to your brethren in the Lord?
I do.
As last one, do you promise to strive for the purity, peace, unity, and edification of the church?
I do.
Praise God. Now I have one question for all of you. Listening carefully. Do you, the members of this church, acknowledge and receive this brother as a ruling elder? And do you promise to yield him all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord to which his office, according to the word of God and the constitution of this church, entitles him? If say I do.
I do.
I do.
Not to put words in your mouth. But Ken, I think at this time you can kneel in front here. You can kneel facing that, I guess, would be fine. And I'd like to invite our other teaching elders to come up as well. And we're going to lay hands on Ken.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as we come before you to ordain Ken, your newest servant in the body of Christ, we pray that you will receive all the glory and honor, and that what occurs here on this Lord's Day will redound within the kingdom of God. As Ken is invested with the office of elder in the Church of Jesus Christ, and specifically at Lehigh Valley Presbyterian, may this small flock of saints put their trust in Ken increasingly. May the people look to Ken for guidance and leadership. We further pray that this congregation will regularly pray for Ken. Lord, give his household patience and forbearance to encourage him when difficult situations arise. And finally, may the sheep of this flock always exhort Ken and also rejoice in the growth of Lehigh Valley Presbyterian in your kingdom. Our hands are laid on this brother. We possess no special powers. This is all about you and your powers. So we pray for Ken and his interaction with the sheep as an under-shepherd. Give him wisdom when he has to decide. Make him hunger to study your word. Give him discipline to be alone with you. lead him in openness to be taught and in ability to teach. May he esteem the sacraments in his walk. Give him strength when he is required to suffer. Grant him an abounding willingness to serve. Above all these things, give him a love for the sheep that seeks to mirror Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, in his unending and sacrificial love for his flock. All these things we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, I think we are to give the right hand of fellowship, which if we can suspend things, I think that's okay. Now comes the declaration where things become official. I now pronounce and declare that Ken George has been regularly elected, ordained, and installed a ruling elder in this church, agreeable to the word of God and according to the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church in America, and that as such he is entitled to all encouragement, honor, and obedience in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Ken, I have a charge for you. It's $50.
No.
I charge you as an elder to guard yourself from the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. Be a shepherd of the church of God, which he has bought with his own blood. Be a friend and Christ-like example to children. Give fear and cheerful guidance to young people by word and example. Bear up God's people in their pain and weakness. Celebrate their joys with them. Hold in trust all sensitive matters confided to you. Encourage the aged to persevere in God's promises. Be a wise counselor who supports and strengthens the pastor and your fellow elders. Be compassionate yet firm and consistent in rebuke and discipline. Know the scriptures, which are useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Pray continually for the church. Remember at all times that if you would truly give spiritual leadership in the household of faith, you must be completely mastered by your Lord. Today, you're not the same man you were 15 minutes ago. I remember when you were married, Pastor Stone pointing out that you were a different man after you were pronounced man and wife. You became a king, and your wife became a queen. The day you become a different man as an under-shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be times of disappointment and times of great joy. There is a need, if you will notice in this charge, it doesn't mention a list of activities that need to be checked off, but it speaks of the compassion of Christ, wisdom formed by Scripture, the desire to live in faithfulness to God and follow the way of Christ. This charge does not speak of program management, but of people. People whom God so loved that he sent his one and only Son to give his life for them. This is not saying that programs are unimportant and that the stewardship of the church as an organization is trivial. Both are significant concerns, but you will not find them listed in this charge to you. We do hear about children, aged, young people, those struggling in pain and weakness. The charge focuses on God's people. So remember, this charge also reminds that the central to the task is the Word of God. There we find guidance for life, promises to encourage, words of correction, and it's a call to action. The charge is filled with commands: encourage, guide, rebuke, shepherd. It means that you, in conjunction with your fellow elders, act on our relationships. It's not easy. We all know the hazards of speaking when we should be silent and being silent when we ought to speak. We're well aware of the damage that can be done and of a blessing that can be given. The wonders of that word are many. And then we call to an act that needs wisdom. Learning does not just happen, it seeks wisdom. That means elders need to have a practice that seeks wisdom. So it would be helpful as you continue in this new task, in this calling, this, what our Book of Church Order calls a vocation. In the section on church government, it has, before it gets into elders and deacons and the ordination, it has the doctrine of vocation, the doctrine of ordination. This is a call to vocation in Christ's church. While the charge can be overwhelming, we are also given an opportunity to work alongside God and serve Christ in our communities. When we see people grow in faith, and the church grows in devotion to Christ, we receive a marvelous blessing, and so can may God give you deep joy in your service.